We saw all kinds of behaviors. We saw a lot of people initially try to hoard. So, but we actively set up systems and processes to not let that happen. For anything that is important and sensitive, you cannot order more than one, two, or three of, say, you want to order a thermometer or a mask or a sanitizer. There will be a limit of one, two, three, or four, depending on the category and availability.
This is Lockdown Leadership. I'm Shreyasi Singh, trying to host a podcast in the middle of the biggest global crisis we've ever known. On this show, I talk to leaders at the helm of providing essential services in the worst of times. In our first episode, I speak to Prashant Tandon, CEO and co-founder of OneMG.com, a leading online pharmacy and healthcare provider in India. With a click of a button, OneMG gets your medicines delivered at your doorstep, schedules at-home lab tests, and connects you with doctors across the country. OneMG has been a valuable, responsible venture during this time, educating many by thoughtful information booklets on COVID-19. It was also one of the first private healthcare firms to offer the coronavirus test. How did it battle constraints to do this? How did it collaborate across its field force, cadre of doctors and multiple government institutions? What has it learned in this crisis about how to respond to panic buying when masks and sanitizers are flying off the shelves? Is consumer behavior changing in fundamental ways as far as healthcare is concerned? Do listen in for these answers and for much more. Thank you so much, Prashant, for taking out the time and joining us on Lockdown Leadership. Congratulations and kudos to all of the great work that OneMG has been doing, you know, as part of the startup community. We're proud of your efforts, but it must be really, really tough. So tell me, what has been the most challenging thing for you personally?
So I think this is a phase where, honestly, I'm working harder than I've worked any time else in my career. What's the hard part is just the scope of important things that are happening in parallel, because literally we are on, there's no time to set things. We have to do everything at the same time. So getting medicines, lab tests, consultations to users, making sure that deliveries happen across the country is one part of the problem and an important one. A big part is just the morale of the team. As a team, we are facing a lot of issues on the ground. Sometimes our delivery boys get beaten up. Keeping that morale up, keeping people and stakeholders informed, working closely with the government, the central governments and state governments, both on helping streamline what we do and also on the policies front, where we are trying to play an active role in this battle against COVID. So it's just a bunch of things happening. All of them are time sensitive. All of them are very important. So personally, I think while I must say this is actually a phase that is our moment. It's a role we have to play. But yes, there's lots going on and keeping us more than busy right now.
I'm sure as a company that deals with pharmaceuticals and medicines, which is highly regulated, in any case, you would always be interacting on the policy side as well as with state governments. But, you know, what has changed in terms of the, you know, the texture of the conversations that you're having and the pace at which multiple institutions and organizations have to come together to make very decisive and difficult decisions? How does one do that at a time like this?
So I think what happened when this lockdown came was, one, the services we offer are classified as essential services. So these are the services that have to be provided to the citizens, and both the administration and us as companies, we have a responsibility to make it happen. So the responsiveness of the central government, the state government, the local governments has been actually very, very satisfying. Actually, it's great to see that they are willing to listen, they are willing to help, they are trying their best to take care of the issues that we face on a daily basis. So we are on WhatsApp and messaging and calls every day with local, central, state, all kinds of administrations. And also our input is being valued. Now, and as you said, being in a regulated industry, one thing we had anyway been doing is interfacing with the regulators and the governments actively for a while. Now what this environment has enabled is that our interfacing or our already some institutional credibility we had. So we are able to actually build on that. We are able to contribute more actively, and it's a two-way process where they listen to us, they help us, and we work together to in what we need to do. So it's a very refreshingly different way of working for a private enterprise.
You couldn't have imagined this 6 or 8 weeks back. The way that you would work with these agencies was very different even 2 months back, right?
Yeah, totally. Because it was always us trying to get them to understand our view so that our business could work better. Now it is us working together to make sure that medicines can be supplied and tests can be done. A very different dynamic, and having them and us on the same side, it's actually a lot of fun, and it's very, very refreshing. As I said, it just energizes you that dealing with the government is not just about friction. It's actually, they can support you also in a pretty good way.
So, I mean, this is sort of a silver lining discovery in a moment of this unprecedented crisis that, right, that, you know, these seemingly friction-led institutions can come together.
And they can move fast, yes. So there are silver linings, and my appreciation of the government
machinery
has only gone up.
And tell me, when you say that you are obviously categorized as one of the essential services, does that mean that you're not your field staff who's delivering the medicines, but your corporate headquarters, people can go to work, all of you can go and do meetings in government offices?
So no, at least for the teams, even 1 week, being a healthcare company, I think for us, we were on top of COVID when it was breaking out in China. So we had started planning for social distancing and work from home dynamics, figuring out the infrastructure to make it happen, the team dynamics, the check-in rhythms, everything. Actually, a week before the lockdown, we had already implemented it in our company. So most of the, because all said and done, there is no point in increasing the traffic or people getting together in any kind of a format unless they really need to. Now, certainly some of us in the leadership team do engage with the government and if needed, make the trips. In person, but otherwise technology has really, really changed behavior, even of the government. Now, today, a bureaucrat is more than happy to get on a Zoom call or a WhatsApp call and just talk across a screen. Again, another change. A year, month or two back, it would only be write a letter, get an appointment, come and travel for a two-minute meeting. Now it is, I've had Zoom calls and WhatsApp calls with bureaucrats at 11:50 p.m. in the night, 12:20 p.m. in the morning, all at any odd hours. Everyone is working 24/7. So, but yeah, as a company, we are trying to make sure that we keep our people safe, and whoever can works from home. Of course, our field force has to be out there with the patients, and we have to make sure that they are taken care of, which we are doing.
Okay, great. You know, you talked about behavior change. You know, we are very big on behavior change at Harappa and apply it for learning, right? But I think we are living through sort of, you know, this incredible behavior change experiment in history right now on so many things, right? I want to shift our focus to what's happening with your customers, right? And what kind of behaviors have you been surprised to see or worried about seeing? What kind of items or services are leading to panic buying on 1MG, for example? What are people trying to hold up on? You know, tell us a little bit about how consumer behavior has shifted in terms of transactions or requests on your platform.
Yeah, so I think consumer behavior, it's very interesting how it is being changed. Number one, a lot of people who typically would not have taken the digital route to access healthcare, a lot of new people are coming on board. then from the community or the people who have been with us for a while, we saw all kinds of behaviors. We saw a lot of people initially try to hoard. So, but we actively set up systems and processes to not let that happen. For anything that is important and sensitive, you cannot order more than one, two, or three of, say, you want to order a thermometer or a mask or a sanitizer. There will be a limit of one, two, three, or four, depending on the category and availability. So we are very, very cautious that there should be equitable distribution, and we advise against people trying to hoard, because right now that's the biggest problem is if we reach that, everybody starts hoarding. The other behavioral change that I think was very heartwarming was that we are receiving a lot more appreciation, notes of appreciation for the service we provide. Mostly people would only write to us to shout at us for being late or not being able to provide a good service or missing out on something. That is still happening. But what has changed is a very good chunk of the user base is actually writing us with notes that I'm so happy that I could get my medicine, which I could not find anywhere in my neighborhood, and one MG brought it for us. So I think all kinds of consumer behaviors are on display, but there are some new ones that are particularly interesting to us right now.
You talked about, you know, sort of restricting transaction on some key items. I'm guessing sanitizers, masks, thermometers, as you mentioned. That was one product sort of, you know, workflow that you tweaked in response to consumer behavior. Anything else that you've tweaked on the product to respond to whatever you're seeing, the way consumers are behaving?
So I think a significant change is happening towards telemedicine. Mm. So which used to be one of the ancillary services is actually now a very core service. We had a 430% increase in telemedicine consults around flu and fever. The number of consultations is actually zooming right now. So people are fundamentally scared of going to places that could be the zones where infections congregate. And, you know, hospitals, clinics, laboratories, pharmacies, these are the places that actually scare people more, because that's where the people with infection are also likely to be. So we are seeing a very strong secular fundamental shift happen towards teleconsultations. And so in terms of our product tweaking, that offering is being significantly made more robust as we speak. So we are, I think that's one big directional shift we have taken, that telemedicine will be much more front and center. We are already deployed it for some large hospital partners and pharma partners. Mm-hmm. So because the new model is that nobody is going to the clinics. People need to connect with their doctors, and they need a quality platform that can enable that. So we are seeing a pretty significant demand on that.
Okay, how are you fulfilling the demand for these kinds of services, you know, as with people work from home, whether it's, you know, medical practitioners who would be staffing these telemedicine call lines? What have you done on the supply side?
So a bunch of things. The first thing is all of us are working at 150%. So mm-hmm. Everybody is working round the clock in the company right now. So our teams are very motivated and charged up with the responsibility that we have, the recognition we are getting. So we are cranking out new features on a daily basis. So that's one thing we are doing. The second thing we are doing is we are leveraging partners in the ecosystem, and there are quite a lot of them right now. So for example, we've made a solution for telemedicine. How do you get doctors on board? So we've got pharma companies whose entire field force is right now without having much to do. They are actively taking our software to the doctors and doing sales essentially for us. We've got insurance companies who are offering our services to their client base. We've got hospitals who are bringing on their doctors onto our platform. So the approach is, first of all, our team needs to stay together, stay motivated, and keep working hard. And secondly, we leverage the ecosystem. Another thing where we are leveraging ecosystem is we are out of staff in our delivery hubs and warehouses and a lot of places. But the rest of the ecosystem, which was engaged in what is now called non-essential products, their entire teams are free. So they are taking their teams on loan. So what we are doing is we are leveraging help from wherever we can get. And as a team, I think everybody in 1MG team is today at 150% of work. They don't have to travel anywhere. They're just fully focused on creating this product at a very rapid pace.
Yeah, and as passionate startup teams, this is in some bizarre way, this is the moment that you wait for because you feel like you're useful to the world, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, great. I'm going to shift some of the little bit, some questions around your team and then finally end with you for the last 5 minutes and how introspect on some of the things that you're doing personally. In the first week of full work from home, what are some of the things that the team struggled with that, you or the company quickly put to rest and helped them with?
I think the one big thing that teams had was just on the what is going on. There was too much chaos. So what we are doing for that is we have set up weekly town halls online. So digital interactions where the entire team, so started with me speaking with the entire team, then Tanmay, who's the CEO, Gaurav, who's the co-founder, everybody is talking actively to the team. So one thing while we were preparing, we already kind of set up was the daily kind of interaction model with the team so that they are kept informed. The teams had a very big fear of really not knowing what is coming. Like as citizens, as people, everybody had the same fears, and being a healthcare company, we actually had a little better context that we could share. So just telling them that. The second part that everyone was scared about was the economic part of it. What is this going to lead to? Are we going to do mass layoffs? Are we going to do something? Are their jobs secure? Will the work from home model continue? Not. What is going to happen? How secure is the company? So those are the questions. We took them proactively. We explained to them our thought process, how we are going about it, how we intend to make sure we take care of our teams the best we can. So I think transparency, authenticity, and communication are extremely important in this phase. Having said that, your communication will not have much weight if it is not built on pre-existing credibility. So the teams have to, that is something that is actually reflective of the culture you would have built before these times came. Suddenly you cannot say something and look authentic if that is not how the teams have perceived you for a long time. So I think assuming that the basics are in place, over-communicate, make sure there are enough channels to which team members can speak to each other. Take the big questions head on. Don't dance around them. There will be all kinds of decisions taken, but the biggest problem that teams have is with lack of transparency and prolonged uncertainty. So, and if you can, even if you can transparently share what is going to be uncertain and what is not, even that goes a long way. So I think that's what I have seen typically work.
Yeah, no, I can't agree with you more. I think even as an online learning company, we are seeing some of the increased traction as you are. Obviously, what you do is even more urgent right now. And absolutely, I believe that companies who had basically a solid foundation and then do all of the things that you're talking about will be able to survive. I don't think you can learn how to communicate and be transparent and authentic just because there's a crisis, right? So in that sense, one can build a foundation that is resistant to crisis.
Well, one has to. I think, or rather, let me put it this way, that everything that you have done in good times, a lot of that will not, the differentiation may not be very visible. In times like these is when the difference is most visible.
Actually, that's so well said. I think that's really true. Tell me, from both the employee and the consumer, which of the behaviors that you have seen change you think will have permanently changed? Like, for example, do you think telemedicine, you're thinking, is a permanent shift of behavior that will continue?
I think, yeah. Digital healthcare is a permanent structural shift. People will realize that that is safer, that is easier, and that solves the problem a lot better. So yes, telemedicine, e-pharmacy, e-diagnostics. I think in general, people are going to feel that if there is a safer, convenient way of getting healthcare. So the biggest issue that we had, or the biggest, challenge for us before this was how to get people to experience our services and know how good we are. Now, that thing is kind of being forced by the ecosystem. So once they experience it, I think that will stick and sustain. It's a fundamental structural shift in favor of digital health.
So your sampling woes are sorted.
Yeah, our trials are being mandated now by the ecosystem. So yeah, people are getting to experience, see the benefit. And in our experience, once people try it, very few drop off.
Is there a difference in the way that people look for credibility, especially for medical practitioners at a time of crisis? Because, credibility and reliability become so important. And have you seen some of that play out?
So it's always the case in healthcare. And again, same as I mentioned for employees, same for the trust factor. It cannot be built just overnight. It has to be in everything you do and how you do it. Now, that credibility and trust is exemplified more and more in this phase. And because what is going to happen is that people certainly are looking for something that they have a feeling they can trust. And it's built through a bunch of interactions. Many people who are interacting with first time will be looking for that. Our existing customers, of course, know about it. So we actually created some very high quality content around COVID starting early March. All of that was circulated across multiple media. One of our videos got tweeted by the finance minister. So we really got a lot of, positive recognition and applause for that. We got supported that in the government notifications, we were mentioned as one of the clear essential services with the name of the company. All of that helped build credibility. And a bunch of people who would never have engaged would have had a chance to engage. And yeah, it is credibility and trust is something that is, again, like a cultural thing. It is, you have to be doing it in all the time in everything you do. And try not to lose it, because it's easy to lose and hard.
Great. Last 5 minutes, I promise, Prashant, of 3 questions about yourself. You know, this is probably one of the big sort of, you said you've never worked harder in your life and a big crisis to navigate through in your professional journey. Have you had role models who you have either seen or read about, whether management books, biographies of people who've managed a crisis that resonate for you right now?
Oh, great question. I'm thinking about who could be. So I think one example that came to mind was pretty much the Jack Welch example, where when Chernobyl happened, or Three Mile Island, whatever, one of the nuclear accidents happened, it was a moment that redefined the way GE would work. I think while everyone else was waiting for the industry to come back, he went and told the teams that this is not happening. We are entering a new world. Nobody is buying nuclear reactors, but whoever has will service it. So we let us build around what the new world will look like and figure out ways to do that. And thereby, GE entered the services space in that zone very, very actively and made a big business there. So that is kind of an example that comes in mind. I can't really think on the fly of.
Sure. But if you come up with one, you should let me know some other time also. it's very interesting to
too absorbed in the challenges to actually reflect much, honestly.
So. I know. No, of course. Which habit have you built during this time? Like, or have been forced to build because, you know, we're all working so differently and you're working in this high pressure zone?
So when I take my calls, I walk. So every day I'm walking 18 to 20,000 steps. So I have made that a habit that whenever I'm on a call, I'll walk and I'm pretty much on the call all day. So,
wait, what is something that you've stopped doing because of, again, this unique situation?
What have I stopped doing? As a habit, like I've stopped doing a lot of things because I don't have time.
Hmm.
But as a habit, what have I stopped doing? I think I've certainly stopped procrastinating a lot of things. Everything is urgent, so I'm just on to one thing after the other. So I've actually stopped taking breaks. I've stopped doing a lot of things I would typically put off for the next week. Right now, I'm just in a mode where I am very energized, so I can actually, I'm doing one thing after the other. So it's just small things, but I can't, again, put my finger on something very substantive.
And was that your default setting also? Were you one of those people who would, you know, sort of take these very quick decisions? Or you were someone who would sort of sleep on it twice, as they say?
So it depends on the decision. But typically, if time is not going to bring any more data or information, then decision needs to be taken then. So if time is going to get me some additional data, then I would probably let time help. But more often than not, I have a bias for taking decisions and moving on.
Yeah, I think as entrepreneurs, we all do, right? So I think that is almost becomes a default. Okay, last question. You know, how are you recharging these days? Because that's also a good wellness habit that, you know, we all need to do right now, especially.
Hello.
Yes.
I could hear you for a bit.
Yeah. How are you recharging these days, Prashant? Anything that 5-10 minutes that rejuvenates you?
My kids. Hmm. So so they are around all the time. So whenever between calls, there's that, I'm just spending. So actually, I'm spending way more time with my kids. It's 2 minutes here, 5 minutes there. That kind of gives me all the energy and charge that I need. So I try and make sure I have all the meals with them. Work from home has these benefits. I try to read to them. I try to play a little with them. So all of that really helps.
It's amazing, right? That being at home, we are also working harder and being able to be closer to things that really matter.
Yeah, I think there's so much useless things that time gets wasted on, like traffic and general socializing is kind of out and you have time for things that you really enjoy.
Really. One last tagline for others locked into having to display sort of leadership in moments of crisis. What's your one line tip?
This is the time when leadership is tested. And the single most important thing that you need to do is just be authentic, be real. I think that's if that is what you can do in this phase, people will really appreciate that for a long time. So
great. Thank you so much for joining us on the first episode of Lockdown Leadership, Prashant. We really appreciate it and wish for great success and impact for 1MG.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Lockdown Leadership is a show brought to you by a small and currently remote team at Harappa Education. Thank you to my crisis task force of Nishant Singh, Soumya Bahuguna, Suman Kaur and Madhavan Bhattacharji for managing, scripting, designing and producing the show. You can subscribe to Lockdown Leadership on your favorite podcast channels, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher or wherever else you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow Harappa Education. We're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Until things get better, stay home, stay safe, and please do make it a habit of washing your hands.